Book of Acts, we're going to be looking at Philip and the Ethiopian this morning, the Ethiopian eunuch, and your memory verse is Acts 8, 36 and 37, see here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, okay, see what that is, if thou believest with all thine heart thou mayest, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay, and so he preached to him Jesus. And he asked, what would prevent him from being baptized? Other Bibles, they take part of that verse out. Okay? Don't believe me? Look them up. That's okay. They take part of it out. They take the part out that says, if thou believest with all thy heart. Belief always comes before baptism. I was raised in the church before I was old enough to even know what was happening, they poured water on me. Okay? It's infant baptism. That's because part of that church teaches baptismal regeneration. They don't want to say it that way, but that's what that is. Water baptism for salvation. If a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and they never get baptized, do they go to heaven? Yes. Does baptism make them more saved? No. Baptism is an act of obedience to the command of our Savior. So we look at this, you know, and I want you to understand, Philip was witnessing to him, right? Personal evangelism is important. If you can't say it with your mouth, say it with a tract. Anybody can give somebody a track. If they refuse it, does it hurt you? Does it make you feel rejected? Do you want to take your dollies and go home? It doesn't cost anything. You don't even have to pay for the tracks. Well, you did when you tithe, but okay. But the tracks are here, all right? They're there to give out. And you're fulfilling what God wants to use you for. Are you ready to take the message? I'd always carried him before, but it wasn't until I hadn't heard it until Nathan Gipp became my associate back in 2002, because this is what his dad taught him. You don't go anywhere without TNT. What's that? Tracks. And I keep, everybody thinks I'm going to pull out my wallet, so I can travel overseas. My passport. This is a passport carrier, and it makes it really nice to hold tracks. And I keep all different styles. My thank you tracks, because I like to eat. So everybody at McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and Fulton and Oswego know who I am. Any restaurant, I give them a thank you track for your excellent service. And it talks about just a simple thing, the green ones. We have them. They get a church track. We had so many of them printed with me being a pastor, we had stickers made. And see a bunch of them, and now I think we're past those. I have some at home I got to give to the pastor to have him put the sticker on that says Caleb Kinney, senior pastor, on it, okay? Because I don't want to throw them away. I want to give them out. You know what you need to do? Put them in your bills if you still mail them in. I can't do that anymore. My wife pays everything online. All right? But if you mail them out, put a track in it. Somebody's got to open it. You say, it'll get thrown away. Then the janitor has to read it. Wednesday night I talked about a track being thrown in a field and a farmer picking it up when he was plowing his field and got saved. And how do I know it's true? Because they went to Pastor Kinney's father's church and I met the man. And when he read his King James Bible, it was the prettiest thing you ever heard, because he was Scottish. And he had a Scottish brogue when he read the Bible. Oh, it was gorgeous, okay? They were meant to read that. I can't do accents. If you want accents, ask Joe Shelton, okay? That's the way it works. But you're supposed to be doing that. Look at Matthew 4. We'll get into the lesson. I'll shut up at the end of class. Matthew 4, look at verse 19. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 18 is the beginning of the paragraph, and he says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." They were fishermen. "And he saith unto them," what? "Follow me, and I will make you" what? "Fishers of men." Go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 2, he says, "And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." See, and it talks about having the marriage ceremony. And he's inviting them in. "Do you know we're the bride, and there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb?" What's your favorite food? Any of you, tell me, what's your favorite food? If you wanted to get your most expensive food, what's your favorite food over here? Give me one. Mince pie? You're a cheap date, okay? Okay, Mark, what's your favorite food? Spaghetti meatball. Spaghetti meatball is my favorite, but if I'm going to a restaurant and I can have it, give me prime rib, you know, or a big honking Delmonico steak. Because I'm not going to buy that. Okay? You know what I'm going to tell you? It's in there. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's the celebration of all celebrations in heaven. Do you realize that? It's going to be there. It's going to be better than Ponderosa Steakhouse. It's going to be better than used to be one in Fulton. Golden Corral. I could eat steak to my heart's delight. When I was helping a man who got out of prison, ministered to him after he'd been in 5 years, I go, "Where do you want to eat?" And he goes, "Golden Corral." I says, "Golden Corral? You don't want some fancy place?" He says, "No, I want as much as I can eat. And I can choose." Because for 5 years, I didn't get to choose anything. Saved man, got his life right. Wanted to go to Golden Corral. He ate chicken, he ate steak, he ate pizza. He ate this, and then he had 7 or 8 different desserts. Marriage Supper of the Lamb, you can't match it. You can't match it. Okay, so this is on the marriage. Look at Matthew 22. Verse 9, "And go ye therefore in the highways, and as many as ye shall find," what? "Bid them to the marriage." So those servants went out to the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. That's the way it is when you judge them, whether they're bad or good. "And the wedding was furnished with guests, and none of them were turned away. Whosoever may shall come." That's evangelism. You don't know if they're going to get saved. You just know you've been told to go. You with me? You should have an answer with you. Be ready with an answer for the hope that lieth within you. So you with me? Philip was sent by God. If you're saved, you're sent by God. He was a spirit-controlled evangelist. He was one of the 7 deacons chosen. Turn to Acts chapter 6. We're going to be in Acts chapter 6 after, or Acts chapter 8 after this. We'll go to a few other verses. But Acts chapter 6, you ready? Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may you may appoint over this business." It's not the preacher's job to do all the soul winning. Okay? Sheep produce lambs. Is that hard to understand? Now, you can have wolves in sheep clothing, but sheep produce lambs. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. You see that? He chose them. Acts chapter 6. What name didn't they mention? Are you reading it with me? Did I say Philip? I thought I didn't say Philip. I was trying to catch you and I caught myself. See, too many head injuries. Can't do anything about it. Okay? He was chosen as a deacon. He wasn't the pastor or the evangelist. He was a deacon. You know what God did with him? He changed him as he faithfully served. And he was willing then to go wherever God told him to go. Now this takes us to Acts chapter 8. You ready? Acts chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 25. And they said, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in as many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto who? Saying, arise, go south. Isn't that what we hear up north? It's not go west, young man. It's go south, old man. Right? Go south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. What did the angel of the Lord tell Philip to do? Just go. Did he tell him what he was supposed to do when he got there? Not to start off. That's how you know he's spirit-filled. When God says and lays on your heart to go, you know what you do? You go. He was commanded the angel of the Lord. Now, the angel could have gone himself. The angel of the Lord could have gone and told the Ethiopian how to be saved. But you know what? The Great Commission wasn't given to angels. It was given to who? No, say this. It was given to me. Ready? The Great Commission wasn't given to angels. It was given to... That's right. Me. They aren't saved by grace. They never can bear true witness to saving grace. Do you realize that? The angels that rebel, do they ever repent and turn back to God? No, they fell with Satan and they're one-third. They're innumerable. We can't count that high. That's how many angels there are. But one-third of the angels of heaven rebelled with Lucifer when he became Satan. No redemption for them. No redemption. No second chance. No, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he gave it to men. There was a great saving of souls. Philip had been part of that in Samaria. And it, you know what it is? When people see God working, they want to get in on it, don't they? You ever come to a set of meetings and God, you saw something happening in that and God was speaking to your heart? And you just want more of it? Why do you think they continue to do Youth Ablaze? People come, they want to get in on that. It just ministers to their heart, okay? A place to be in the midst of revival. And what does God tell Philip? Leave here, go. I don't want James, Tanya, and the kids to leave. My flesh. I don't want them to leave. Those kids are mine. Ask Avery whose belongs to her. Yep. All I got to do is walk by Avery, put my finger out. She grabs it and we're going. Okay. I don't want them to leave. He doesn't want to leave. But you know what God said to him? Go. Go. That's not because he's it works out nice for Tanya. She's closer to her family down south. But James is leaving his father, his business, his mother here, his little sister here. And he's going. And he's not going to Florida like the rest of the traders. I told you, it tells you to go south. I love them. They know that. I still get text back and forth. But he's going to minister with someone who needs help. Do you know that when you read your Bible, you'll find out there was times when some cried out to God and they said, come over to us, we need help. So he goes. Okay? Didn't make sense to Philip, but that's where faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. It was faith and obedience. Howard Bacon's one of his favorite verses in the Bible is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Turn there. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. If you don't know it, it's an easy one to memorize, and it's a good one for young a preacher to preach out of. Keeps him in line. He doesn't have to wander, you know, and so go on bunny trails. You don't know any preachers that go on bunny trails, do you? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge his call in your life. No. Acknowledge that you have a King James Bible. No. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see that? That's faith in the only way the world, God knows your faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everything is naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, right? Hebrews 4:13. He sees it. You know who can only see your faith through your obedience? The one you're trying to witness to. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you can't tell me you've never looked at somebody and said, well, I know they say they're saved, but I don't see any fruit. You're trying to inspect them instead of inspecting yourself. You see their faith through their obedience. Obedience to what? The preacher? Follow Pastor Kenny, follow me, follow Pastor Thomas as we follow the Lord. If it's not following the Lord, don't be a lemming. You don't go over the cliff, right? It better line up with, thus saith the Lord. So his faith was seen. Did you understand? There probably was other disciples, Philip's friends, going, man, it's good here. Don't you see the movement of the Holy Spirit here? Why are you leaving? Because God said so. Because God said so. They're probably wondering, they're upset, why you left? Acts chapter 8. Told you I'd get there. Verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Isn't that interesting? A follower of Jesus comes to an unsaved man who's trying to figure out what the Bible says. Unsaved people are lost and undone without hope and without God. They don't have the promise or the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. They can pull some things out, head knowledge. Unsaved people quote scripture. An unsaved person can lead another unsaved person to the Lord. You know that? If they give them the scripture and the scripture convicts that person's heart. But they don't understand it. Natural man receiveth not the things of, neither can he know them. Because they are what? Spiritually discerned. They can't know them. So when he finally told him where he was to go, he ran. I like that. He ran. Isn't that what we read there in verse 30? No, excuse me. I read verse 30. Yeah, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah. That is a different spelling of Isaiah. It's not a mistake. Okay? He ran and he heard him read him from Isaiah. He did what he told. He initiated a conversation by asking a question. Okay. Anybody who worked with Bible handouts. What's the evangelist's name with cancer? What is it? Anybody who wanted one, he gave it to them. Five approach questions. Do you go to church anywhere? Are you interested in spiritual things? If you died today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Would you like to? You would like to know, wouldn't you? May I show you from the Bible how you can know? Just five approach questions. That's simple. Then he gives four spiritual principles. He gives illustrations. I don't need them. I use my own illustrations. Okay? And it turns around. It tells you, okay, the fact of sin, the consequences of sin, illustrations for that. The remedy for sin, illustration for that. And the individual response to the gospel. Ambassador Baptist Missions. Anybody want? He gave them away laminated. All right? If you didn't get one, talk to Pastor Kenny. Maybe we'll order some just because you say, I don't know what to say. No excuse. No excuse. Find something. When I'm not preaching on the street corner, someone walks by, I say, could I please give you something to read? It'll change your life. As I told you, Hispanics, blacks, Asians, they all take it easy. You white people, you're more ignorant. Amen? All righty. Okay. So he gives them out. Okay. I like this. It says, Philip initiated a conversation by asking a question. It is always wise to ask questions to find out where someone is spiritually. Never assume anything. When it comes to eternal life, don't assume. What does it mean to assume? To believe you know when you don't know. I worked as an electrician in a factory for 15 years. The mantra of my electrician's foreman, the man who was my first boss over me, Dick Duda, who was my electrical engineer, was never assume anything. Do not assume the power is off in that device until you make sure. Why? They gave us the nickname Sparky. Okay? Because you find out real quick. And to assume something means to make a out of you and me. Look at the spelling, you'll understand what you'll become when you assume you know something. All right? So he turns around, verses 27 through 30 in this text, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of what? Great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He didn't know the God, but he was searching for the God. He was a great authority. He was over all her treasures. You know who he sounds a little like to me? A certain Old Testament type of Jesus Christ who served Pharaoh. And he was over all that he had. Do you think that's interesting? Joseph, one of the greatest Old Testament types of Jesus Christ, was sold into servitude and slavery to Africa. Egypt, right? Northern Africa. Isn't it funny that an Ethiopian, he's been castrated. He's a eunuch. No carnal problems with the queen then. And he was given great authority. And he was looking for God. Looking for God. She trusted her whole treasure to him. He'd given up the right to have children so he could concentrate on his service. Doesn't know if they did it when he was a slave or anything open, but you're going to serve in that position, you do away with that part of your life. He was a convert to Judaism because he traveled hundreds of miles to Jerusalem to worship. We had a man stay in our missions home, the trailer, one time. He was what they call a Coptic Christian. He was from Egypt. They traced their lineage all the way back. This eunuch had converted Judaism. He was seeking after God. Here he is. He's in Jerusalem, the seat of all the religious formality for Judaism. Sacrifices, all the stuff taking place. It was still going on. Was the temple there when Jesus was on the scene? And then the veil was rent in twain. People were still coming because the Jews believed that's the city of God. You know what the Bible says it is? The city of God. You don't have to agree with me, but I personally believe that when the New Jerusalem comes down and it's up there above the earth, it's going to be directly over physical Jerusalem. You don't have to agree with me. Just look at it. Think about it. He'd converted. The rituals did not satisfy. I got saved because the religious rituals did not satisfy. No matter what I did, I couldn't quite measure up. He had a thirst for God. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be what? Filled. Turn to Isaiah 55. We're coming back to Acts. Keep your finger there. Okay? Isaiah 55. This is a promise from the prophet given of God, pointing to Jesus Christ. Verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to what? He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without what? And without price. You know what it's telling you? You're going to be filled and you don't pay for it. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Maybe when he was there, he must have heard, you know, there was a great stir about Jesus. You understand that? We're not talking a great deal of time past this, right? Stephen had been stoned in Acts 6. You're not talking about that far. He'd heard. And he wanted to know, but no one had come to tell him. You know what this is an example of? You go, well, if no one witnessed to them, then God can't send them to hell because they never got convicted of their sin. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament show forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night revealeth knowledge. It's there. God will always, if you're searching for him at whatever level you are at, he will reach you at that level so you can know more. If he doesn't, then how can he say they were there without excuse? He makes a way. No one would go. So what does he do? He pulls somebody out of revival, sends them quite a few miles from Samaria back to Jerusalem to preach to an African, an Ethiopian eunuch, who's a muckety-muck. You know what we do? You get nervous when you find somebody. Many times people get nervous when they have to talk to somebody who seems to have greater authority. Do you realize the lieutenant colonel sitting in the back? Privates did not like to make eye contact with colonels. Am I wrong in that, sir? Not at all. Sergeants did not like to make contact with colonels, eye contact. Lieutenants, captains, none of them, because the colonel, many times, you know, you talk, well, you got to be a general. Do you know many of the bases are run by colonels? The whole base, thousands of troops on a base, they're run by a colonel. A man of great authority. Here's Philip, just a deacon, just somebody, this lowly guy sent by God. Hey, what you reading? What you reading? You know what he did? He asked him a question. He's riding his chariot, and he's reading Isaiah 53. Put a marker there because we're coming there in a little bit. He's reading out loud Isaiah 53. You can lead a Jew to the Lord out of Isaiah 53. How do I know? I've done it. You can use the Isaiah Road to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. Tanakh Road, the Isaiah Road, the back road, I don't care. You want it, God will give it to you. You want the Isaiah Road, the Tanakh Road? Ask Pastor Kenny. They were taught it. It's marked out for them. Whether he remembers it or not, that's the reason I'm telling you go to him, because I don't remember it all. But it's there. He's reading. What do you hear about? The blood atonement of Jesus Christ. You hear about somebody who was a willing sacrifice, a sacrificial lamb. And he'd been in Jerusalem. And what was said about Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Spirit will direct them to scriptures, which will direct them to Jesus. That book is about him. It's about what he's done. It's about what he's doing. And about what he will do. It's about Jesus. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of my great acts. No. John 5:39, they're that which testify of me. Believer, it's not about you. It's about him. You get in on it. You make it about him because he loved you. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us, right? Because he first loved us, you know what he did? He made it about you and me. Therefore, you're to make it about him. I've seen husbands who turn around and they want that. Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Not written to the husband, but that's the most important verse to a husband. No. Husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. If the husband makes it about her, you know what she'll naturally do? Make it about him. Women sense love through emotional security. They may like things, but they'd rather have the one who loves them than all the things. You say, that's in that text? Well, that's what I'm going to. All right? Search the scriptures. You think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. He didn't understand the most basic truth. that Christ had died for him. Someone had to tell him. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? A reference back to Isaiah 53, pointing to Jesus. So then faith cometh by, and hearing by the word of God. Well, I haven't been sent. Oh, yes, you have. The Great Commission, Matthew 28. Okay? You've been sent. You got saved. So as a beggar of bread, you can go tell another beggar where they can get the bread of life. Amen? Every one of us. Every one of us. Philip was that someone. All right? Titus, I like this. Wasn't in the lessons, but I looked this up. Titus 1, Paul, a servant of God and the apostle Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect in an acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in the hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Women, you want to preach? That's when you can preach. They're not supposed to usurp authority over a man here. But you can go in the highways and byways and tell them to come in. But hath in due times manifested his word, made it openly known, that's what manifest means, through the preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. It's a command. Ethiopian responded to that, to Philip's question, by humbly saying he couldn't understand the scriptures without help. You know, it's one of the key things about salvation. You can't save yourself. Key things about the Christian life, you can't live it by yourself. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. Mark 10:15. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Humility. Right? Acts chapter 8, verse 31. Humility. And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I'm supposed to tell somebody else. If you are a willing witness of Jesus Christ and you live your life before people as God would have you to do it, when they hit problems, they may hate you beforehand. But when they hit problems, I didn't say you never went through a problem before them. You can't sit there and go, you're Sally Sunshine. Oh, the Christian life is just so nice. I never have a fight. It's always sunshine and daisies. Even in upstate New York where there's no sunshine. It's so sweet and nice. And Jesus is so nice to me. Don't you want to have and be like me? Oh, nuts. They watch you go through it. Maybe they watch you weep. Maybe they see you pray when you don't know they see you. Maybe they hear you when you don't know they're listening. And you come through it. And it doesn't destroy you. And you get to the other side. And they go, can you help me? Because I don't understand. Nothing you go through in this life is a waste to God that he cannot use. And some of you are going through it. God can use it for his glory because someone's watching your trial. You may fail because a righteous man falleth down, getteth up again. But they'll see it. And then they'll ask you. They'll ask you. What the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, the place of the scripture that he looked at, and it's Isaiah 53, and verse 7, and he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Do you realize what convicted Pilate? Pilate says, you're not speaking. I have authority over you. Jesus didn't speak. He asked him again, art thou a king? Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Not of this world. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. That's what he was reading. Isn't it kind of neat? Philip didn't know the timing. The Ethiopian eunuch didn't understand the timing. God calls Philip away from a revival meeting and tells him to go. So he goes, and as he's going, he tells him where he wants him to be. And as he gets to where he wants him to be, he tells him, go join thyself unto this chariot. This is the man. Do you pray for someone to witness to? Someone to give a tract to? Maybe you're afraid to open your mouth. You can stick out your hand. Do you pray? Lord, give me someone who will take a tract today. I had to pray it in Philadelphia because when Judy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. She wanted tracts out. I'm going to lose my eye. Someone's going to get salvation. Now, I don't know if they got saved with those tracts, but I know God says his word will not return unto him void. It's never wasted. Just because you don't know, we had people. Asked the pastor all of about 5 years. I taught a soul-winning class. Sue, Karen, the other ones were in the soul-winning class. Talked about giving out tracts. 2.5 years later, I get a tract mailed back from Ohio. Lebanon, Ohio's where Faith, you know, Fellowship Tract League is. And they print the tracts there. We get a tract from Lebanon, Ohio. Some person from this church traveled through there and left the tract in a restaurant. Yeah, with a tip. Please don't leave a 5% tip with a tract from Emmanuel. Don't leave a 10%. Don't even leave 15%. All right? Well, that's all they deserve. No, they don't deserve anything. But my Savior deserves it all. Leave a decent tip with a tract. You ever have a waitress come back crying? I have. Because it wasn't 15, it wasn't 20, it wasn't 25. God just said, do that. Well, this tract comes back from Ohio. We don't know you, I don't know you, but thank you. I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because the tract says, if you have prayed, please notify this church. And it got mailed back to us. Don't tell me tracts don't work. You with me? Okay. So it gets sent out. God's timing is perfect. He reads these two verses, and Philip's there, and he asks Philip if Isaiah was talking about himself or some other man, and then what Philip do in the text? In our text. Okay. Looked at, remember, verse 31. He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of scripture he read, he's led as a sheep to a slaughter, his lamb to dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. continue on with that. In verse 34, he said, I pray thee, this is speak of thee, or whom speaketh the prophet himself or some other man. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and did what? Preached to him his good life. He preached to him Jesus. And that brings us to our memory verse. So here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. That verse is not in an NIV. Thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Philip preached Jesus and how Jesus fulfilled the scriptures to save us. The eunuch got saved. Somewhere along the line, he learned you're supposed to get baptized. He saw it was water and knew it was time. Baptism is the first act of obedience for a person who's saved. You got saved, you should get water baptized as an open confession of that. You should. We got people getting baptized. I think it's next Sunday, 16th. Mm-hmm. We got four people going through the baptismal waters. Five joining church. All right? He had a desire to be baptized, and it was a witness of his faith. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is what? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Outward sign of inward faith. He was rejoicing. The great witness of salvation. He went into the water, come up out of the water. And look at verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit saith, the Lord caught away Philip. He was gone. I don't know. Did he come up out of the water? He'd have been obedient to God in believer's baptism, and Philip was raptured out of that place. Beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life down here. Amen? He was taken. The Spirit took him that fast. He was gone from there. I don't know if he rode away on a horse. I don't know what happened. He was gone. But Philip was found at Azotus. Not Sodus. Azotus. Passing through, he preached to all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And all God's people said? Amen. Amen.